tuned in, and welcome to CBS Mornings On The Go. Ahead on this Monday, July 6th, the U.S. men's soccer team is gearing up for tonight's do-or-die match against Belgium. We'll talk to Men in Blazers' Roger Bennett and CBS Sports analyst Nico Cantor about what to keep an eye on. And President Trump's controversial phone call that's got a lot of fans talking about red cards. Plus, it is official. Taylor and Travis are married. People's editor-in-chief stops by with everything she knows about the big day. Also, Amazon book Sarah Gellman is here with her picks for the perfect summer beach read. And Monday means Beg Knows America. David starts a month-long dive into his Dear David mailbag, sharing inspiring stories from viewers all across the country. All that and more ahead. We are beginning with a story that's very, very difficult right now. It's a key hearing in the case against the man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk. Prosecutors aim to convince a judge that they have enough evidence against Tyler Robinson to go to trial and seek the death penalty. He's charged with aggravated murder and the assassination of Kirk during a rally at Utah Valley University. Carter Evans has been following the case for us. Carter, good morning.
Good morning, Vlad. The preliminary hearing could last up to 5 days, and this is going to be the most significant presentation of evidence in the case so far. Now, in order to seek the death penalty, prosecutors have to prove there were aggravating circumstances and that Robinson endangered others at the rally.
A critical hearing begins today for the man accused of assassinating conservative activist Charlie Kirk during a Turning Point USA rally last September. Prosecutors will try to convince a judge there is enough evidence for Tyler Robinson to go to trial for murder and to face the death penalty. The five-day hearing will look like a mini-trial, with prosecutors planning to share DNA evidence that allegedly links Robinson to the suspected murder weapon found at the scene, testimony from investigators, and autopsy findings.
In these types of cases, you do tend to see prosecutors who are giving more information than maybe they otherwise would, because you have a lot of audiences in a case like this.
Prosecutors allege Robinson confessed to the murder in a text message to his partner and in a letter which read, quote, "I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it." Robinson turned himself in the next day.
I think it's very likely that there is enough there for the prosecution to convince a judge that there is probable cause that Robinson committed these crimes.
Charlie's wife, Erica, and his parents are expected to be in the courtroom where they will face Robinson for the first time. During his CBS News town hall last year, Erica explained why she forgives her husband's killer.
How is it possible that you can forgive the person that murdered your husband?
I'm not forgetting what he did. I'm not condoning what he did. What he did is sick and evil. But am I going to take that moment to say, rally the troops, burn the city down, march in the streets? Or am I going to take that moment and unleash something like we talked about, even greater, more powerful, and say, it's a revival?
Now, Charlie Kirk's parents and his wife, Erica, released a statement ahead of today's court hearing, basically saying, quote, "Every court proceeding serves as a painful reminder of his death and the loss that has irrevocably impacted our lives and the lives of his children." Gail?
We never lose sight of that. Carter, thank you very much. Turning now to Iran, a funeral procession for the supreme leader killed at the start of the war with the U.S. and Iran drew massive crowds over the weekend. Mourners poured into the streets of Tehran today in a show of defiance by the regime. Rami Innocencio is following it all from London.
Grief on the streets of Tehran this morning as a coffin carried the body of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei through the capital. The 86-year-old supreme leader was assassinated by the U.S. and Israel on February 28th in the opening strike of the war they launched on Iran. Three of Khamenei's sons appeared at his side, but his successor, his son Mojtaba, now Iran's new supreme leader, has still not been seen in public, believed to be seriously injured in the same attack that killed his father. One religious poet captured the raw anger in the crowd, swearing revenge to assassinate President Trump. The crowd's response, death to America. But behind the mourning lies a darker legacy. Over Khamenei's four decades in power, thousands of political prisoners and protesters have been killed in crackdowns. A UN panel has linked his government to crimes against humanity. A country in the midst of a funeral for the ages, finally sending off Ayatollah Ali Khamenei for burial more than 4 months after his death. For CBS Mornings, I'm Rami Innocencio in London.
All right, back here at home now, let's turn to the weather and new flooding, a threat now in the Northeast. Let's go to CBS New York meteorologist Scott Padgett. All right, Scott, what do you got on tap for us today?
Rounds of rain on the way for us, as you can see through parts of the Northeast. 61 million people under flood watches. Flash flooding is going to be possible through Tuesday evening. Rounds of rain on the way, and the Weather Prediction Center saying there's a level 3 out of 4, a moderate risk of flooding in that red bullseye for you. So how much rain can we expect? Possibly another 2 to 4 inches of rain in some spots. So we're seeing that. It's going to pop up there for you, even up through parts of Minneapolis, 1 to 2 inches of rain. So rounds of rain on the way. And then from there, we go down to the desert southwest. It is, again, excessive heat on the way. Excessive heat warnings in place. Phoenix stretching over to near Yuma. The potential, possibly, of temperatures up to near 111 to 114 degrees. Even up in Denver, about 97 degrees. Gail, I always connect weather with food. I'm thinking a good watermelon and feta salad with all that extreme heat down there.
Ooh. Oh, I like how you're thinking, Scott. Yeah.
Yep.
Like how you're thinking.
Cooking.
My type of guy. Let's throw in some banana pudding, too.
Now to the White House phone call shaking up tonight's World Cup matchup between the U.S. and Belgium. In a surprise move, FIFA lifted U.S. striker Flo Balogun's one-game ban for a red card. He is now eligible for tonight's match. CBS News confirmed President Trump called FIFA's president about the suspension. Nicole Valdez is in Seattle ahead of the U.S.-Belgium clash. Nicole, good morning. A lot of outraged people.
Yeah, Vlad, good morning. FIFA says its decision was in line with its disciplinary code, but this is the first time since 1962 that it has reversed a suspension of a red card that was issued during a World Cup match. Now, as you can imagine, this phone call is certainly sparking big questions ahead of the U.S.'s biggest match in years.
From the beginning, it was a contentious call.
The final decision is red card.
Star U.S. striker Florin Balogun handed a red card after stepping on a player's leg in last week's match, forcing Balogun to a one-match suspension. But days later, in a stunning turn, FIFA reversed that ruling, allowing Balogun, the top U.S. scorer in this tournament, to play tonight against Belgium.
Foul, obviously, it was what it was. It was harsh. There's no doubt about it. So, like, to have him back, we're just excited.
President Trump praised the decision on Truth Social, writing, quote, "Thank you to FIFA for doing what was right and reversing a great injustice." Sources tell CBS News Trump called FIFA President Gianni Infantino directly just one day after the match and asked for a review of the red card. The call was first reported by the New York Times. The pair have gotten close in recent years.
Mr. President, this is your prize. This is your Peace Prize.
Infantino awarded Trump the newly created FIFA Peace Prize in December before the U.S. was set to host hundreds of this year's matches. In a statement, the Royal Belgium Football Association said it was, quote, astonished, adding, to protect the fundamental principles of fair play, it is investigating all potential options. The Athletic's Paul Tenorio says FIFA owes fans transparency over a decision that could have a huge impact on the match.
It changes everything about this game. It is an enormous deal to have Flo Balogun starting for the U.S. It is their preferred starting lineup now. And really, you have to say now, no excuses.
Now, a Belgian source familiar with this matter told CBS News that FIFA is now reviewing this decision to lift that red card suspension. That same source also told CBS News that the Belgian Football Association has since sent a letter asking for, and I quote, the full rationale behind the decision, as well as a full report from the FIFA refereeing body. Vlad.
All right, Nicole, thank you very much. For more on this, we're joined by Roger Bennett, founder and CEO of Men in Blazers, an independent media network that covers soccer. Roger, good morning, or is it? Because a lot of people are wondering how FIFA was able to do this. There's this little known rule, it's called Article 27, that allows it to defer suspension of this type. But when you first heard this, Roger, look, you and I are football fans. There are always bad calls. There are always things that we are unhappy about that we would like to see reversed, but they don't get reversed.
It depends whether you're asking the American football fan me or the fan of global football. Which one you're asking will tell you the answer. Emotionally, it's amazing. Flo Balogun is our prince who was promised. He's our Lord and Savior. He's the gent who can score the goals that are going to take us to the promised land. But this does feel like something out of WWE, you know, where home cooking is the best cooking. He got a red card. That carries a one-match ban. There is no right to appeal, apart from this Article 27, which says that FIFA can review any suspension that they want, and no explanation has been given. We later find out that there was a call, as your report said, from the White House to ask them to reinstate him. And so the world football fan in me is like, this is not the way football works. You know, if we were playing France and President Macron put in a call to make sure their elite striker was able to play, how would we feel? If Saudi Arabia did this, how would we feel? And so you're caught between the emotional and the rational.
I know.
And the honest truth is it destroys the integrity of the competition. Gail.
Roger, put it in perspective here. Hi, Roger. I mean, suppose there was a bad call in the NFL and President Trump called Roger Goodell and Roger Goodell reversed the call, how people would feel about that. As Vlad just said, bad calls in sports are how it goes. So if the U.S. wins, and listen, with our USA, go USA, we all hope the USA wins. But if they win, is there an asterisk? Is it tainted, do you think?
I think that in the eyes of the world, Gail, you've absolutely nailed it. And I will say the crazy thing, the thing that hurts the most, well, there's two things. Number one, this World Cup has been the World Cup of the people. We've marveled as the world has fallen back in love with the United States, and the United States has fallen back in love with global football. Lawrence, Kansas, where the town embraced the Algerian football team, in Boston, which became the capital of Scotland, as the Tartan Army danced deliriously. All of these scenes have been ecstatic. And now you have this. And the crazy thing, Gail, the US team have been playing so well. Our boys have been doing us proud. Yes. They were doing great without any of this interference. Mm-hmm. And now you're right. In the eyes of the world, no matter what happens, every goal, every game they win, maybe tonight and afterwards, we'll have a stigma. We'll have an asterisk, by the way, which will last beyond the World Cup for both the team and this poor player, Balogun, who is a great young striker. When you mention his name in 10 years, no matter how many goals he scores, no matter how many games he plays, the world will only remember him from this moment, Balogate.
Oh, yeah, Balogate, as you said. Now, a lot of people, though, Roger, would agree that the red card seems somewhat harsh to begin with for that play in the play against Bosnia. So the call itself, I mean, do you agree that that should have been reversed?
That's an argument that's kind of self-justifying, that it wasn't a red card. That we're telling ourselves these things. It's the right outcome, but it's completely the wrong process. Again, last night England got a red card. Unfortunately, they don't have a sitting prime minister. Who's going to put the call in to FIFA to get it revoked? This is not what we've come to. And it's also not why we watch the sport. It does destroy the integrity of the competition, there is no doubt. But it's not why we watch the sport, for kind of geopolitical interference, for courtroom drama. This morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, FIFA told Belgium that they can countersue, that they have until 5. This is the agony. The World Cup, this World Cup has been the greatest in the modern period. The feats on the field and off it have been ecstatic. Honestly, they're what the world needs.
Exactly.
And now we're having to go through this grinder.
Roger, you're breaking a lot of hearts. My dream was USA would win without Flo tonight, and then they would go on just to show that the red card was wrong, but they would still win. But now we'll all be watching.
You and me both with my American heart. Godspeed. Make great memories tonight, irrespective. Big, big love.
All right. Roger Bennett, thank you.
Courage.
Thank you.
Well, time for us to take a look at the stories that caught our eye. Lots of stories catching our eye these days. With us today, Chanel Cole, wearing my favorite outfit, yellow gingham.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks. Just trying to keep up around here, guys.
Yes.
Good to see y'all. So we begin this morning with the latest on the troubled renovation of the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool. So Interior Secretary Doug Burgum told the Associated Press the pool's damaged liner is set to be repaired by the same company that did the initial work. Now, President Trump has said the lining, which began to crack and peel shortly after it was completed, was damaged by vandals. Questions have also swirled around the project after no-bid contracts were awarded to companies with previous ties to President Trump. Burgum says the pool will be partially drained in the coming weeks to complete those fixes. All right, turning now to some stunning video of a massive fire engulfing a warehouse. Take a look at this. So this happened over the weekend in West Virginia. So scary to look at, right? According to the company that operates that facility, the fire started Saturday morning burning and seemed to have been put out. But then on Sunday, it reignited, sending those massive plumes of smoke into the air there. A state of emergency was declared, but residents were told not to evacuate. Now, no injuries have been reported, and the cause of that fire is under investigation. All right, now to some scary moments for passengers inside a Waymo robo-taxi after the car, get this, drove straight into exploding fireworks. Watch this. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this happened in San Francisco over the holiday weekend. You can see the car pass right over the street fireworks. So Waymo says, luckily, no one was hurt. The car was not damaged. But oh my gosh, this is so terrifying. I know this is probably like the future, I am not getting in a car unless there's a huge hit.
I've taken a Waymo, but you know, Waymo is like, what is that thing coming right at me?
Maybe not.
Let me just drive right into it.
Rerouting.
All right, finally for us this morning, we've got this record-shattering feat to inspire us all. I love this story. So American rower Kelsey Fendler has now become the first American woman to row solo all the way from California to Hawaii. So after nearly a month and a half at sea, Fendler received a hero's welcome in Honolulu at the end of her 2,400-mile journey. She made the trip in, get this, just 43 days, 17 hours, and 55 minutes. That is faster than any human ever before. I don't know if you guys have been following her on social. She's just so cool. On top of being an incredible athlete, but she posts, you know, the highs and the lows. She had this video of doing her laundry. In her little boat.
And she did her laundry too?
Yeah. But there were so many people who followed her journey every day. And so many of them showed up in Honolulu to see her complete this huge feat.
Good news for her.
Her arms look good.
She looks great.
Oh, great arms. Yes.
I think I'll try to hit the Joey Chestnut. Yeah. That's my lane.
That's more your speed.
Yeah. That's my lane.
Aim high, Vlad. Exactly. Aim high.
Right to the middle. That's my career.
Thanks, guys.
Janelle. All right. Well, if you all haven't heard by now, there was a very big event here at Madison Square Garden on Friday. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce officially tied the knot. It was confirmed by the marquee and Swift's publicist after weeks of intense speculation. Lilia Luciano has the very latest. Lilia, good morning.
Good morning to you, Natalie. Well, we're finally starting to learn more details about the wedding. They're slowly trickling in. Comedian Adam Sandler was not the wedding singer, but the wedding officiant. And instead of bridesmaids or groomsmen, Swift's brother served as her man of honor, and Kelce's brother Jason as best man.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's wedding may be over, but the star-studded celebration left a lasting impression for the lucky thousand who got to witness it. Kelce's mom, Donna, offered a hint.
I really can't say a heck of a lot, except it was magical, man, magical.
AMC Theater's CEO Adam Aron was more forthcoming. In a post on X, he described how the couple transformed Madison Square Garden, floors, walls, ceilings, draped in peach and white, large blown-up pictures of Taylor and Travis at each age. Adding, the venue looked like an outdoor garden at a lush countryside retreat. And that Travis was in a white tux and a jaw-dropping Taylor in a stunning white wedding dress with a long veil train.
It felt very intimate. It didn't feel like Madison Square Garden.
Brian West is the Taylor Swift reporter for USA Today.
Why do you think they chose MSG?
I think they chose Madison Square Garden for two reasons. One, security, so you can completely control who's entering. The other reason they chose it is because of its poetic symbolism. Is there a more iconic venue that marries both the sports and entertainment industry than Madison Square Garden?
The guest list included Selena Gomez, Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lopez, Lena Dunham, and Kelce's teammate Patrick Mahomes. According to People, the couple's vows took 20 minutes each, read from golden books.
They cried and they laughed and they danced and they hugged and they kissed.
Sir Paul McCartney and Stevie Nicks, Swift's longtime mentor, performed at the reception, according to multiple media outlets. Singer Maren Morris shared a picture of the embroidered TNT handkerchiefs guests got to take home. Complete with a lyric from Swift's hit song, Blank Space. As for something blue, the Grammy winner got some help from the Empire State Building. The wedding bells may have just finished ringing, but at least one person is already thinking about what's next.
Taylor and Travis, it's Dolly.
In a video thanking the couple for their recent $2 million donation to her charity, Dolly Parton offered this joke.
Hey, when you have your firstborn, can I have it? Because that is going to be one special baby.
No one disagrees with Dolly there. Well, we still haven't seen any official pictures of what the bride or groom wore, but Swift's publicist says that they were both dressed by custom Christian Dior with shoes by Christian Louboutin, and Swift completed her look with Cartier jewelry. Who got the bouquet? Big question. That would be Ashley Smith, the sister of the Chiefs lineman Trey Smith. She posted these photos on social media. One of the very few photos we've seen of anything. I'm starting to feel the bad blood. We need to see this dress. Taylor, come on.
I know.
On.
I can't wait to see the dress, too. But I'm so excited about their love story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
From beginning to end, and it's still continuing. That line from her song, "Are going to go down in flames," that's not what's going to happen.
That's not
happening. I cannot wait.
I think that everybody's so invested in Taylor's love life.
Yes.
A lot of the fans I talked to over the weekend, a lot of the Swifties were telling me, we are a part of this story. We're all invested. Right. We need to be there. So hopefully there will be this documentary that's reportedly
I'm guessing it's going to be made soon.
That it'll be shared with the Swifties, with all of us, not just the 1,000 guests. Well, they were already there.
She's
don't
a master
we're
marketer,
pulling for her.
So you
pulling
know that's happening.
Yes, for both of them.
Lilia, thank you as always, my friend. Appreciate it.
Coming up, it has been described by a lot of people as a wedding of the year. People are still talking about this. We're going to be talking about it for a long time. People's editor-in-chief will tell us what we know or what she knows about Taylor and Travis's celebration so far. Plus, you ready for your next great summer read? We can help you out on that. Amazon Books' Sarah Gellman is here. She's got lots of suggestions. Wait till you hear what she's got to say. I don't know about you. I cannot get enough of this story. I said it. The wedding that had the world on the edge has finally happened. Of course, we're talking about Taylor and Travis. You don't even need their last names anymore.
TNT.
Officially, dynamite is right. Officially tied the knot at Madison Square Garden over the weekend. But here's a question. What actually happened inside? Here to tell us everything she knows is Charlotte Trick. She's People's Editor-in-Chief. Charlotte, I'm sitting here looking at you like this.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, but why do you think, I know why we're so fascinated. I think we've been following her for so long. It's nice to see her. We've seen the breakups. It's nice to see her happy and love. And this, I love the two of them together. What can you tell us that we haven't heard?
Well, I mean, there were so many guests. You saw, of course, there was like 1,000 people. I mean, from all corners of both of their,
worlds.
Their friendships. Yes, exactly. But I mean, people that are maybe a little bit of a surprise, you see Brad Pitt there, Bradley Cooper. I mean, just absolutely star-studded event. But there were some fun things, too. Like, Paul McCartney was there, and he performed. He performed I Want to Hold Your Hand. Stevie Nicks also performed. I mean, it was apparently, of course, massive event, but transformed inside of MSG to look very intimate and like an
That's
actual
what I'm fascinated
family
by.
Wedding. Yeah.
The intimacy. Number one, these are not pictures of the wedding.
No.
Please don't anybody think we have any. These are not pictures of the wedding. This is our graphic.
That's what we think.
As beautiful as it is. Yeah. But I keep hearing from people who were there that it was surprisingly intimate.
Yeah.
I mean, how did they pull that off?
Well, they tented all the seats. The stadium seating was kind of draped so that you couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. Then they built.
So it's not like you're sitting in row D3.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? You probably are. Right?
You're having a cup of popcorn.
You don't need to know what you're seeing.
With the popcorn.
Popcorn and beer.
So they tented the seats.
No pretzels. Apparently they were passing around beautiful hors d'oeuvres and people were having stuff like chicken nuggets with caviar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A bit high-low. You know, very popular.
Miranda Lambert and her husband.
Yeah, they had such a cool guest list of people, but they totally transformed it. And it was really intimate inside, and they had like garden kind of vibe.
Yeah.
One of the ladies who was in attendance posted pictures having caught the bouquet. It's a very modest, very lovely bouquet that looks like it was cut from someone's own backyard garden. You know what I mean? Really, like it had like garden, forest, fairy tale vibes, according to sources.
How about Adam Sandler officiating? I thought that was cool because Travis was in the movie with him.
Absolutely. So that I think is like giving the groom the chance to put his stamp on the wedding, right? Adam Sandler was the officiant. Apparently, Adam Sandler actually had some wonderful advice for the couple, which is that you can really, go for years in your marriage, like not really fighting or putting things in a good mood. If you kiss your wife every day, kiss your husband every day, he said that you should, you know, kiss each other as much as possible. Yeah, and it's a really interesting thing.
Do you kiss your wife every day, Vlad?
Yes, I do.
Do you kiss your spouse every day?
Sure do.
Yeah, I think that's good.
It's easy and it's free.
And we heard they wrote their own vows.
Yes, they wrote their own vows. Each set of vows was 20 minutes long, which is quite something. I mean, that's actually quite something. They had golden books that they'd written them into that they used as a reference point. And she talked in her vows about how in high school he was, you know, the star athlete, but the kind of guy who would go and sit at the table with the less popular kids and keep them company and be nice to them when they were being bullied. That. So the kind of person that she wished that she could have known when she was in high school.
Mm, love that. Yeah.
Really touching, very personal and very heartfelt.
What about, I mean, of course, we've seen some glimpses of the people who went to the wedding. Who did not make the list? Or the?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, how many billions of people on this planet?
Right.
Well, so like quite a lot, of course. You know, I can only imagine that that must have been quite the matrix for any wedding planner to figure out who is, you know, an ex-husband or ex-boyfriend of this person who is on the confirmed list. I mean, obviously,
who sits where? Oh my gosh,
exactly.
Seating configuration alone.
Well, there was no seated dinner actually, and this may be part of one of the things taking the stress out of it. They had stations of food all around the wedding, and people could then go get whatever they wanted and sit down.
Oh, no seated.
It's like a golden corral. All right, Latrix. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. For more on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's big day, you can head over to the People app.
Nothing says summer like a great beach read. And whether you're on vacation or you're just hanging in your own backyard in the lawn chair, the perfect pick, as you know, can make all the difference. Luckily, we've got somebody who can help you with that. She knows a thing or two about all things books. Amazon Books editorial director Sarah Gellman is here. Sarah, always good to have you because I marvel how she does this with no notes. Yeah. So for you, what makes a good summer read?
You know, I think the good news is there are no rules. But for me, anymore. But I think for me, it's a book that I can't look up from. I want time to pass quickly, whether it's a flight or sitting by the pool. So these are all unputdownable.
So your first recommendation about a friend group in a coastal New England town.
Yes, this is Pineapple Street. Oh, I'm sorry. It's actually called The Shampoo Effect by Jenny Jackson.
The Shampoo Effect.
She was the author of Pineapple Street. And this book takes us from the privileged streets of Brooklyn to the shabby chic lanes of a coastal New England town. And it is every bit as fun and delightful as her debut. So we meet Carolyn. She's a 20-something New Yorker. And she accepts a fellowship to a small Massachusetts town. And she falls in love with this local guy named Van. And he comes with a set of forever friends, complete with baggage and secrets and past entanglements. So what's interesting is this book is an homage to John Updike's controversial novel, Couples, which talks about the marital and sexual lives of 10 suburban couples in the 1960s. And I think this is, I'm going to say, the must-have accessory for your beach bag this summer, you, Vlad.
Really?
And you're going to see it everywhere.
It's going to be cool.
I like that.
All right, I'm in.
Next book is for me, for the people who like nonfiction. This is a true crime story. Tell me about this one.
Catch the Devil. It is true crime. It's ripped from the headlines. It reads like it's a thriller. Yeah. So this is about Paul Skalnick, who's a former cop and exposed as a major con man. And all of his lives leave this trail of victims in his wake. Women who trusted him with their hearts and their families, neighbors who gave him money for goods and services that never materialized. But really the worst is a man named James Daly, who is sent to the death penalty based solely on the jailhouse informant testimony of Paul Skalnick, with Paul saying that he confessed to the murder. Daly confessed to the murder of a teenager in 1985, which Daly said was not true.
I just never think of beach read and murder in the same sentence.
But it's, you read it and it's gripping.
It's like a thriller.
You can't put it down. I mean, I was breathless at the end of this book. It's a true story.
And Patrick Radden-Keefe, my favorite author, also blurb not
He's
it,
a
so
fan.
That's a big plus for me. All right, next, we've got a new take on a modern love story.
Yes.
So what is a modern love story? What makes this one special?
I mean, for romance readers, this is a little bit different. So the new take is that this is told, it's the love story of Seb and Clara, but it's told through everyone's point of view except their own. We never hear from them.
Huh.
So you're hearing from a bartender, from a roommate, boyfriend's or a best friend's girlfriend. And so we watch their love unfold and fold and unfold over decades, basically from their 20s to middle age. It's perfect for fans of Sally Rooney or David Nichols one day. Oh, yeah. And I have to say, I was skeptical this would work, and I loved it.
It's not a spoiler. You never hear from them.
Not their point of view. It's told from everyone's different voice but theirs.
All right, next, a memoir for the sports fan. This one, Crossroads.
Crossroads by Dusty Baker. This is a baseball memoir, baseball and summer, sort of obvious together. Dusty Baker is an incredible human being. He played professional baseball for 19 seasons. He managed professional teams for 25, ending in World Series glory with the Houston Astros in 2022. And this is his story. It's about a young Black American athlete who joined the league in the 1960s. And this also is about him as a person. He loves wine. He loves food. And you really read this and you get the sense that life is full of detours, but it's really best lived fully. And he is living his full life.
Very full.
And last, you've got a domestic thriller for fans you say must read in less than 30 seconds. What is it?
So Kimberly McCrae writes affluent characters and twists upon twists so well. This is a woman whose husband is accused of murdering a woman he met.
Oh, I love the title. Someone else's husband.
You cannot put this book down. You have no idea who done it.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a sell. Sarah Gellman, as always, we thank you. All right, it's Monday, which means Beg Knows America. David Beg Knows launching a special month-long series packed with inspiring stories you won't want to miss. Stay with us.
It's time for the stories that we call Talk of the Table. Why, Natalie? Because it's a table we be talking. I'm glad you're in pole position.
I'm in pole position. Okay, so my Talk of the Table is a question. What song would you call the ultimate American anthem? Oh. The staff at Billboard put together their list at number 3. You ready for this? Is Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA.
Okay.
Ranked second is the theme song from the 80s TV show The Greatest American Hero. Remember that song?
Love that. Believe
it or not, on there.
Right? I love
Never
that song.
Thought I could feel so free.
Exactly.
I like that song.
And the number one song, according to Billboard, is Don McLean's American Pie.
Okay.
Parts one and two.
What about Country Roads? I mean, we're all singing that.
There's a whole list. You can go to Billboard to check it out. Yeah. There's songs on there like Childish Gambino, This Is America, Whitney Houston's version of The Star-Spangled Banner, Bob Seger, American Storm, Dirt Band, and American Dream. So I
What about This Land Is Your Land?
So, Gail, funny you should ask.
Really?
This is my list of my favorite or my three songs that I think represent America.
You picked that.
I wasn't very traditional because I thought to myself, what songs when I was a kid, I'm a first generation American, what songs inspired me as a child?
Yes.
This
Land Is Your Land. Yes.
Ray Charles' rendition of America the Beautiful is a wonderful one. And Elvis Presley's rendition of American Trilogy, which is a medley of songs. It starts with an old enslaved person's hymnal. And then it goes into the battle hymn of the Republic and a little bit of Dixie. So the song was meant to sort of give you a collage, a mosaic of this country's
musical
history.
Culture.
I'm going to go call that up. I don't know that one.
So that's
I like your list. Speaking of great music, my Talk of the Table is Harry Styles. I love him and his kind gesture to a fan. So during his record residency in London last week, someone in the crowd held a sign that said their car had broken down on the way to the concert. Take a look at Harry's reaction.
You broke down on the way here. You made it. Right. Car's left. Two flats. Ooh, big repairs. Big repairs. You know what? We're going to repair your car for you.
I thought he was going to give her a new car.
It's pretty cool.
And that's very cool. We're going to take care of it. Two flats. He goes, ooh, we're going to take care of it.
Yeah.
That's what makes him beautiful. Whoever did the Chiron,
I love that.
I'll forget Harry's song. But that's so nice of him. It shows you, though, they do pay attention to those signs.
I'm writing a good sign in the audience. When I see Harry.
Yeah, do a good sign. Yeah. It gets her attention.
Not you, Harry.
All right, this is a good one. My Talk of the Table. Just how much would it take for you to volunteer your seat on an overbooked flight? I mean, how many times have you heard them make the call?
And I always say no.
You say no because you got places to go, things to do. But one airline gate agent in Miami recently offered some very big incentives. Okay, take a listen.
1,250 dollars for the trip credit. And for the prepaid Visa card, $1,000.
And $1,000 shopping
spree
on top of it. And you get to stay in Miami poolside, sip a pina colada, and just hop on the next flight.
Why don't they do that regularly? I wonder, what were the circumstances? No, that's really interesting. What are the circumstances? If it's just that it's at the airline's discretion, then that should be the standard, don't
you
think?
But to give a $1,000 prepaid Visa card
and $1,200
that's pretty good.
I'll take
I bet they had a lot of
I'll see you later, Mom. I'll see you. Or maybe I will see you at all.
In Miami.
And you're looking at the RV that CBS Sports has been driving across the country since the start of the World Cup. Golazo. Match day coverage is led by Nigo Cantor, an analyst for CBS Sports Golazo Network. Now, by midweek, Nico's going to have visited all 11 host cities in the U.S. in just 30 days. Nico, good morning. What a fun trip you've been on.
Cool.
And not to mention for the World Cup, which is incredible. But I got to ask you first about the big news that everybody's talking about.
Yeah,
here.
Definitely.
Flo is going to play tonight. I mean, the red card ban has now been lifted. With that, though, comes a lot more controversy, right? Because this came after President Donald Trump made this phone call to the FIFA president. So where does that put the U.S. when we're watching this game tonight? What is the feeling going to be watching that?
Yeah, Natalie, Gail, Vlad, thank you so much for having me. Yes, you know, all this celebration now comes amid controversy for the United States. I think American fans and the U.S. men's national team would take Flo Balogun back, right? Originally, we all in the moment believe that it shouldn't have been a sending off, but there really aren't processes in place for the U.S. to appeal that red card. But FIFA is hanging on to an article in their disciplinary code that, in my opinion, wasn't put there for these types of things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just given them a blank slate to kind of just do as they wish.
Right.
It's not shocking because FIFA historically has done as they wish, but
the reputation for FIFA doesn't seem so great.
And especially with decisions like these, right? Just it's unprecedented to the level that since yellow cards and red cards have been implemented at the World Cup, that's 1970 forward, this has never happened.
Because also you've got the political interference, which is the other sort of aspect of this, right? And I just want to point out the statement from UEFA, which is the European Football Federation.
Who have a little bit of beef with FIFA.
They do, they do. But I just want to point out what they say. Football is, when the certainty of rules is no longer guaranteed by its guardians, the integrity of the game is at stake and the credibility of competition is undermined. We express our disbelief at such an unprecedented, incomprehensible, and unjustifiable decision.
Yeah, that's the European governing body who has historically been at odds, especially very recently with FIFA. These are now, we're talking about power plays, right? UEFA's looking to undermine FIFA, and now we're getting into the politics of it all, but it is a very unpopular
decision.
But
could the UK make a case for that red card in that match yesterday was absolutely
a
warranted.
Deserved red card.
Deserved red card. But another player, another team could make a call to a political leader and say, hey, can you help us get out of this situation?
With the precedent that FIFA just set by giving Balogun the opportunity to play in this match, absolutely. And all the wrong calls, any national team can say, hey, if you did this for the U.S., why don't you do it for us, unfortunately.
Well, to be continued on that, but I want to talk about you and the bus. I think it's so great what you're doing. So you started it. What were you thinking? What were you trying to do? What was your premise?
So I wanted to discover the soccer culture of our country. I'm discovering my own country as I'm making my way. I started on the West Coast in LA. I worked my way up to San Fran, Seattle, cut across to Texas, hit the host cities in Texas, then went to Kansas City, Atlanta, Miami, and worked my way up to the East Coast. And now I'm here. And what I'm discovering is that the United States does have a very rich soccer culture.
Is that where you sleep?
That's where,
But what
was my bunk.
What were you hearing that people were thinking about the U.S. and what they've discovered about the U.S.?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I think a lot of foreigners, Europeans, South Americans, they say that we don't have a soccer culture. And what I'm discovering is that we do have a soccer culture. But then there's another aspect just about the United States. You know, I think there's a public perception abroad about our country, about the United States, just because of what they see in the news, what they see on the media, and it's not particularly positive. I think a lot of people thought it was unsafe here. There's a lot of hate. And from what I've seen is that a lot of people have arrived here and they found it a very hospitable country.
And they like us.
Yeah, and generous.
And our food. They like
and our food. And not only that, people willing to get in on all of the craziness. I was in Kansas City and I saw the Dutch march. I mean, we were making our way across the
Nico,
country in all of these.
I love seeing the inside of the bus, but we got to go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nico.
Right.
Tune in to the free 24/7 CBS Sports Golazo Network.
It's Monday, and that means it is time for Beg Knows America, where CBS News contributor David Begno finds the heart in every story. Today, we're kicking off a special series you won't want to miss. David Begno has more.
Good morning. We're going to dedicate the month of July to Dear David stories. So for the next 4 Mondays in a row, every story you see on Beg Knows America was sent to us by a viewer like you. Starting with a family wanting to make sure vacations are accessible and a painter who refuses to give up. But let's begin by introducing you to the very talented Emily Cavanaugh. This music comes from the heart of Emily Cavanaugh. She's the founder of a Song for You Foundation. Born during the pandemic, the organization brings together artists to write and perform custom songs for people dealing with their toughest times.
I started to think about, well, what can a singer do in a time like this? So I started cold calling hospices and hospitals and just saying, does anybody need a song?
Since then, Emily's team has been recruited to record hundreds of original works.
So I will stand beside you if it comes in the night.
That includes Luke Morris, who received this song before he died from colon cancer in 2020.
And I just want to say thank you.
Us, there is only you. Only you.
And that's Diane Brown, an Alzheimer's patient who died last year, listening to a song commissioned by her daughter.
Beautiful, beautiful.
The project has featured Grammy-winning talent like Sarah McLachlan, songwriter Jesse Harris, and producer Leo Sidran.
What I mean is, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right.
Recently, Emily wrote a song to honor her mother, Rose, who is battling leukemia.
This work has brought so many amazing people to my life that I never otherwise would have had the chance to meet, but it's also deepened my love for the people that instilled my desire to help in the first place.
And in 2023, what began as a hobby transformed into an official nonprofit organization that continues to grow.
I think that our hope is just that we can bring a little bit of light to someone in such a dark time, but also that we can find a way to tell their story and to capture some of that joy and some of the amazing adventures that they've lived.
I recently received a print of a painted horse in the mail with a letter that read, "I'm not someone who sits around feeling sorry for himself. My motto is, I will while I can." And every painting is proof of that. It came from a man with an unconventional art studio, a room in a nursing home near Buffalo, New York. Every day for years, he's been putting brushes to paper, not by hand, but by hat.
Gives me a purpose.
66-year-old Alan Deacon has primary progressive multiple sclerosis.
You're a painting machine.
His wife of nearly 4 decades, Carla, told us it paralyzed him.
It's been progressive and, you know, slowly kind of he got to where he is at now.
When Alan moved in, his son Alex helped him build the hat so that he could pass the time painting. He even set him up to do some live streaming and TikTok videos. And gradually, people started buying his work.
And I could donate to my horse rescue.
Well, that explains the horse I got.
My wife loves horses. And I love her.
The Deacons have long operated a horse rescue called Phoenix Rising. Last year, Alan's art sales brought in nearly $10,000 for the nonprofit.
All the money I raise goes to my wife.
It doesn't go to your wife. They help pay for hay and grain and bedding and vet care for the horses.
Alan believes we can always make the best of our circumstances.
I want them to see that if he can do it, I can do it.
For the Perso family,
oh, right at the pitcher.
Getting the whole crew anywhere in one piece is a tall order. Their youngest son, Aiden, uses a wheelchair due to a condition called arthrogryposis.
Dear David.
Kristen wrote to me about the hurdles her family faces trying to make memories together, away from home or doctor's offices.
We began dreaming about finding a way for families like ours to be able to provide a no-cost vacation stay for families who had adopted, fostered, or have children living with a disability.
After a rare family trip to Washington, D.C., Kristen decided to make her dream a reality with Cherry Blossom Vacations.
We're partnering with vacation home owners who very generously donate time at their vacation homes. They give us up to a week stay.
Kristen matches as many families as she can with vacation homes that best fit their needs. It's a huge help for moms like Lindsay Gasparo.
Everything would be great, but it could be a 3-inch concrete curb that doesn't allow you to get into the building.
Kristen matched the Gasparos with a free stay in Virginia back in 2023. They just had to get themselves there.
It fills my heart, like, when I feel like I did something as a mom, and then the fact that another mom did this for me with Kristen, the first word that comes to my mind is selfless.
The nonprofit has gifted to more than 30 families so far and is now fundraising to buy its own wheelchair accessible home.
I would love to be able to reach 50 vacation homes by the time I'm 50. So I have a few years. Thankfully, I'm not quite there yet, but I just think it would be really great.
Helping more families remember what really matters. And now for the call out. We are looking for stories about everyday people doing extraordinary things. Know about something happening in your corner of the world like that? Email us, would you? DearDavid@davidbegno.com. And before I go, I got an exclusive preview of the Person Who Believed in Me podcast for you today. Our latest episode, which is streaming now live wherever you get your podcasts, is with thought leader Ian Rowe. Here's a preview.
There's some issues going on.
Racial tension.
Yeah. She talked about her Jewish heritage with a certain reverence, with a certain pride. That stuck with me. Just because everyone that's left is black, why does it have to be bad?
Have you ever felt the system was too big to beat?
David always ends it on a little cliffhanger,
yeah,
too.
That's
but,
great.
But I like the motto that stuck out in one of the pieces where he said, I will while I can.
It's incredible.
And some great organizations. A Song for You, Phoenix, yes, Rising, and Cherry Blossom Vacations.
Nice and done. Always. Again, yes. David Begno, he never, ever, ever disappoints. Tomorrow, more on Taylor Swift's wedding. I don't know.
Probably.
Because tomorrow we'll be talking about the match.
The World,
yes,
Cup.
The World Cup.
The World Cup, for sure.
Yes, for sure.
That's what we'll be talking about tomorrow. That'll do it for us on this Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow on your favorite morning show. I said it. Take it easy.
Criminal Minds Evolution is back on Paramount Plus.
Do you think it's possible to discern some hidden pattern shared by all serial killers?
With a new killer each week.
I see those wheels turning.
When a copycat killer emerges, the BAU will form a dark alliance with a familiar foe.
Elias, would you help us?
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount+.